In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Icons and orthodoxy, orthodox Christianity. We should even really say icons and Christianity are inseparable. Without icons, you don't have the fullness of the Christian faith. But this goes beyond what St. John of Damascus said when he said that we are speaking not of paint and wood. We are speaking not of paint and wood. When we speak of icons, we are not speaking only of the icons that we carry and the icons that we have on the walls. We're speaking of living icons. Christ came into the world in order to make it possible for us to be likenesses of God, created in the image of God. We had lost the capacity to be like God, and he restored that to us because he is God. And he is also at the same time fully human. So he restores to us access to being like God through him because he shares our humanity. Today we celebrate the return of icons to the churches in 843. There were two emperors who were so intimidated by the Muslim Islamic armies that they thought, we are losing in battle because the Muslims say that there should be no images, no likenesses. They are winning, we are losing. And so all of the icons in the churches, all of the teaching about how we are fulfilled in our likeness to God through the coming of Christ, that has got to come to an end. Obviously, this is wrong. Jesus Christ, an icon, an image of him, is not an image of God. You can't have an image of God. It's impossible. We are cut off from God. We are not united to God through Christ, as the Holy Fathers taught. Because the proof is our armies are losing. And so the icons were driven out. In 843, they were brought back in. The icons that we see on the walls and that we carry are the icons of those who were recognized as being like Christ. They fulfilled the Christian promise. They showed that it is possible for us to be perfect with Christ's perfection through our own humility. In the West, this teaching was lost. People came up with the idea that our salvation was simply a matter of the legal requirement for suffering and death being fulfilled by Christ, and so when we die, we don't have to go to hell. And the whole teaching about how Christ came in order to make us holy, in order to make it possible for us to live meaningful and holy lives, even though we fall into sin periodically. We are holy, and we may fall from holiness, but we can return to holiness, because the holiness is the holiness of God. The holiness is the holiness of Christ. The holiness of the saints is the holiness and perfection of Christ himself. In the icon for today, for Orthodoxy Sunday, there is a gathering of men and women holding icons. They could be us holding icons as we hold icons on Orthodoxy Sunday. And they hold up in the center the icon of the Theotokos and the incarnate Jesus Christ. It is an icon of Christ, first of all. We call it an icon of the Theotokos because she is the mother of Christ. She is the one who brought the Son of God into the world. But it is an icon of the incarnation, that becoming like us, of the eternal Son of God. Everything is based on that. That's why she's important to us. Because although she is simply a human being like any of us, it is through her humanity that God takes on our humanity and comes into the world. And next to that icon being held up is an icon of Christ enthroned being held up, like the icons on the iconostasis. the icon of Christ incarnate on the one side and the icon of Christ enthroned on the other. Those two icons are in the icon for Orthodoxy Sunday. And there is a third icon being held up. Probably an iconographer or someone else maybe, who knows, could identify the icon of that particular woman saint. But it doesn't matter really who it is, because it's emphasizing the fact that because of Christ's birth and union of himself, the Son of God, with our humanity, it is possible for us to be holy like him through him. And that's what that third icon, the icon of the woman saint, is about. She is a living witness. It is an icon of a living witness of the reality of the fact that God came into the world and made it possible for us to be holy through his human holiness. Without that, there is no real Christianity. Anything less is what Lewis used to call Christianity and water. More water than Christianity. Because this is the new thing that was brought into the world. Salvation is living a life of holiness. Maybe start and stop, maybe fall and get up again, but the center of our lives is the fact that we were created to be holy like God. We can't become orthodox by accepting a set of doctrines and teachings. That way of thinking about becoming Christian did become common in the West and is common today. Christians are thought of as those people who accept a certain set of teachings, or the Bible as the written word of God. Christians are thought of as people who accept a set of ideas, fundamental ideas, and they test their faith in those Christian statements against anything else. Science, you name it, doesn't matter. This is what I believe. I believe these things. But that's not what makes you a Christian. You can accept all of the teachings and all of the doctrines of the Orthodox Church. And they are all true. But it's not the acceptance of them as teachings that makes you a Christian. It's not even attending liturgy after having been baptized and chrismated and coming to Holy Communion and receiving the body and blood of Christ. Even that by itself doesn't make you a Christian. What makes you a Christian is to live by and through the holiness of Christ, to become a living icon like any of the saints. When we pray in the morning, we stand among saints in our icon corner, ourselves just one more sinner among the saints. And somebody could say, well, saints don't sin. How can you say that saints sin? If we think that way, we are thinking of ourselves as human beings as though we were isolated individuals, sinful or not sinful. But the fact is, the reality is, no one is a saint by themselves. Think of the icon of the woman in the icon for Orthodoxy Sunday today. Is she a saint by herself? The emphasis of this icon of the feast day is that she is a saint through Christ. Through the humanity of Christ, it is possible for her as a human being to be holy, to be saintly. Not to be holy herself, but to be holy through his perfect humanity united to the divinity of God. That's the significance of his coming into the world by way of a human woman. To unite his divinity to our humanity and make it possible for us to be like him through his perfection, united to our humanity. And so the saintliness of a saint is not the saintliness of that particular person in isolation. Is this a saintly, perfect person or not? Isn't the question. The question is this a person who has been faithful to Christ throughout their lives to the point that those around them have seen this woman or this man as a saintly revelation of the presence of Christ through a human being? That's the reality of Christianity. Everything has to do with that. And it holds out for us the hope that we need not be defined by the sins that we commit, no matter what they are. We can reject them, repudiate them. There's a tendency today to think of ourselves as defined by our sins, especially by our worst sins. But there is no sin that can't be put aside, forgiven by God. It doesn't mean forgiven in the legal sense. It means forgiven in the sense that you are returned to the holiness that you have through Christ. That's why we come to confession, in order to return to the holiness of Christ and continue to live a spiritual life with a spiritual center. Now, because of the coming of Christ, one of us, one member of the human family, is God. Not just like God, but God. One member of the human family, Jesus Christ, is God. There is a human person who is God at the same time. That's what Jesus Christ is all about. And because there is a member of the human family who is divine, it is possible for us to fulfill our humanity at one and through communion with him. That's what Christianity is about. It gives our lives meaning that goes beyond anything that this world can do to pull us down and make us unlike God. There is no unholy thing that we can slip and do and fall that can keep us from returning to God, returning to a holiness that we can have through Christ, never a holiness of our own. And so saints, they all sinned at one point or another. Their sins were not just forgiven in a legalistic sense. Their sins were forgiven in the sense that they were able to continue to live lives that were holy lives with the holiness of Christ God. Recently, Regina Nasrallah, the daughter of Subdeacon Nasrallah, asked a question that she's hoping that I can answer online in a little forum that she set up. Well, she had a list of questions, but the first one was, how do I respond when one of my Protestant friends asks me, are you saved? That's always a puzzler for Orthodox. It doesn't seem like there's a good answer. But if we understand what it means to be a human being, if we truly understand our orthodoxy, the answer is simple. The answer is yes. Yes. You can tell them yes. Of course, there's a difficulty. They won't understand the yes in the same way that it is actually really true. But aren't we just responsible for the truth? If we've answered truthfully, the confusion that exists in the minds of those who think that each one of us has our own independent self, separate from all other human beings, and that that self needs to be saved individually under the law, or it will go to hell. That's not part of the Christian faith. That's just their understanding. It doesn't even go all the way back to the Reformation. It's only a few hundred years old. The idea that each individual person is by themselves an individual self is only a few hundred years old, and yet everyone is convinced that it's the truth. It's not the case. It's not the reality. So you can say, yes, Jesus Christ, the incarnate, fully human and fully divine Son of God, has saved my human nature from its fallen brokenness, and so I am saved. But myself is the same as yourself. It's a dumb question. Not many dumb questions. Teachers know that. But this one's dumb. Because the truth is, we are all saved. Our humanity has been saved. Christ saved the human self. We are not individual selves broken from one another. There is that brokenness in the world. Yes, we feel it. We know that we are broken from one another. But we have only one human self. There is only one human reality. We are all human beings. I am not a human being all by my individual self. To be a human being is to be a human being amongst human beings. As human beings, we love God through one another. And so we can just say yes. What this means, once we understand it, is that we do not confront one another as individual, self-protective selves in competition. And this is how we confront one another. And it makes us fearful, and it makes us nervous, and it makes us want to put our best front forward and bring our false self in all its glory to bear, to show that our self is more significant than the self of the other person. It's all fantasy. It's all delusion. It doesn't have anything to do with reality. Once we understand this, we can realize that although there are many, many millions, billions of persons, all of those persons are human beings. We have one human self. That's what we are. Now, who we are as persons, yes, that's a different matter. And am I living in my life the salvation that Jesus Christ has made possible for me as an individual person? That's another matter. The person who asks if you are saved, though, has confused the human self with their individual person. They think they're safe under this legalistic prescription that Christ died for me in isolation, separation, my individual person, my individual self. But God doesn't work like that. God came into the world and he saved our humanity. He made it possible for us as human beings to be as he created us to be. Now, whether we do that personally and individually, that's up to us. That's up to us. We have freedom as persons. So the simple answer, again, for Regina, is yes. You don't need to give all of the explanation. Just tell her yes. Yes, we're all saved. The confusion is not something that we're responsible for. When I was studying and teaching primal religions, I was particularly taken with the Bushmen of Africa. The Bushmen have a culture that is naturally humble. When one human being meets another, a Bushman, or even if he were to meet or she were to meet a white explorer who was under the impression that they were bringing civilization to darkest Africa, no matter who they met, they would greet that person in the same way. Of course, it would be in the Bushman language, so the white explorer wouldn't understand. But the traditional greeting among the Bushmen is, "It's only me. It's only me." We should think in those terms ourselves as Orthodox Christians. When we meet or confront another person, "It's only me. You don't have to worry. It's just the person that I am." We don't do that because we are under the impression that I am responsible for having a significant and impressive self, all of my own, building it up, making it up in my own mind, going out and buying things at Walmart and online on Amazon that will emphasize the identity that I've chosen for myself, this independent self, independent of all other human beings, this non-existent entity. And we confront one another as these strange beings with all of our regalia. And if you look at the regalia that people come up with in order to emphasize who they think they are, at this point in 2019, it is truly remarkable how we try to distinguish ourselves and build this idea of ourselves up out of nothing. But what the Bushman would say, meeting another human being, it's only me. This is what a saint would say. It's only me. It's just this person whose true self is hidden in Christ. It's not something I own. It's not my possession. I belong to God. It's only me. Such a saint radiates holiness. Such a person, such a man or a woman, inspires us, lifts us up, and reminds us that the holiness of our humanity, which is secured and won by Christ, is not beyond us. We can repent and return to that holy way of life. It is not human, not fully human, to be less than holy. And every icon that we see, every icon that we carry, is a source of that kind of hope for us, that by humility we can return to a life that is pure and holy, and that death in this world or the next has no power over at all. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.